Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you on board today. Let me remind you that call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're interviewing today, having a good dialogue and discussion with Florida House of Representatives District 1, Mike Hill. Congressman Hill has been kind enough to take time out of his busy schedule today to be with us and talk about some of the issues that are facing us in the state of Florida. And I believe these issues are facing all of Americans today, and we need to be aware of them and know how to rightly divide the word of truth and take a stand on these issues that I believe God would have us to take as Christians in particular. Congressman, we were talking about before the break, we were talking about your intent to reintroduce the Bible in the Classroom bill and the Heartbeat bill. Let's talk a little further about the Heartbeat bill and then get back to the Bible bill and what it will do. And then we want to talk further about some issues, some bills that you have already introduced this year that I think is vital, especially House Bill 6003. We'll talk about the Heartbeat bill and then the Bible bill, and then we'll get to that HB 6003.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, the Heartbeat bill, as I was saying, when I file it this year, it's going to be different from the one I filed last year. First of all, we are going to remove any exceptions, such as rape, incest, human sex trafficking, and so forth. The reason why I believe it was important that we remove those exceptions is because as horrible and tragic as those crimes are, such as rape and incest, there is no life unless God's Holy Spirit is present. And so despite the tragedy of that situation, and it is tragic, it's horrible crime, God decided there's going to be life there. And who are we to tell God, no, you made a mistake, we need to kill that baby?
That's right.
No, that baby has intrinsic value. It was made in a likeness and image of God,
yes.
And it has every right to life as anyone else. And that is another big change that I am going to be making to my bill. We're going to preface it with a preamble. And the preamble has 27 whereases in it. And I won't say that I came up with this myself. I was contacted by a state senator out of Tennessee who they recently passed that bill in the Senate with this preamble. And what the preamble does, those 27 whereases, is it defines human life in legal and biblical terms. The reason why it is so important to put it in legal terms is right now everyone says that once the Heartbeat bill is passed, that is going to, of course, immediately face a court challenge by Planned Parenthood, ACLU, and other anti-Christian organizations, that it will face a challenge and may get to the Supreme Court looking at Roe v. Wade. In other words, we're challenging Roe v. Wade.
That's right.
Well, how we changed my bill that we're going to be introducing is that, as you know, Dr. Youngblood, the Roe v. Wade entire issue was based on what they call a woman's right to privacy, and that allows her to do what she wants with her body and murder a child that is in her body, which is not her body, by the way.
Right.
So those justices, that Supreme Court who came with that decision, Roe v. Wade, twisted themselves in pretzels to come up with a justification to murder a baby in the womb. And it was based on the 14th Amendment, a so-called right to privacy to kill someone. There is no such thing in our Constitution. But what we're doing with our whereases is we are changing the whole narrative. It won't even address the 14th Amendment. Instead, it is going to address the 9th Amendment to our Constitution. And what the 9th Amendment says is that any God-given or inalienable right, which is not listed there in the Constitution, doesn't mean that we, the people, don't have it. You still have it. Just because it's not listed here doesn't mean that you don't have it. And so what that does is it takes it out into the broader context of common law. And common law says that life is to be protected, that there is life in the womb at conception. not just when a heartbeat is detected, but at conception. And what we are going to use as the indicator that there is life there is the heartbeat. But we also make it very clear that life begins at conception and is to be protected. So
I am so thankful to hear the structure and approach that you're taking, because many are not aware of that Ninth Amendment, and anything that's not so listed in the Constitution does not mean that it's vacuous and void and that we do not have those rights. I believe, Congressman, we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thanks for all you're doing, and good day, Congressman. You have been touching on a lot of important topics, but I was hearing at the beginning, I'm thinking of the idea of these problems with the children that I have been in the school system all my working days and never heard anything about these problems until just recently, all of a sudden. And I am in full agreement that the problem is we have destroyed our children, destroyed their minds by not only the indoctrinating in the school system, indoctrinating them in socialism, but we have removed God out of their minds. We do everything to let them know that there is no God, and that so these youngsters are growing up like animals, or less. There's no soul in them because there is no God. They are told to live as they like, because one day they'll die and do as they like. So this is what we do to them. Plus, there are those with the agenda that of lawlessness the mass shooting is only what give them the opportunity to talk about the Second Amendment. But when there is a mass shooting, they jump on the second. So it's obvious that there are those in the system on the left who has helped to promote the mass shooting by destroying the minds of our children with drugs plus no God, and then put it in them that go about and killing people is the answer. And then as soon as there's a mass shooting, the Second Amendment comes. I think America needs to wake up, and we have been playing with evil all along over the years, and it is ready to destroy America now. So we need to look. We have Venezuela, we have Cuba, reality right in our backyard, plus so many other countries that have been destroyed. And the evidence to prove that when they want to control the population, to get rid of the guns is one of the important things that they have been doing. It has been happening all around. They get rid of, disarm the culture, and then they have the opportunity to enslave the people. People can't fight back. And we well know this is a reality. So why are we getting around? Ignore them completely and just get along with what we're doing to rescue the country, because we are on the verge of getting into the socialism. The children have it. They indoctrinate the children, and the country is almost gone, but for the mercy of God.
I am. You're so much on target. You're so right. This is the reason I think you would second my motion, if we can put it in that context today, that we need more in our Florida House of Representatives and on a national level, like Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, Florida House of Representatives. I am thankful for him, and I pray that God will continue to give us men with stature, men with stamina, men with a love for the Lord, and a commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ first and foremost. Thank you so much for your call. Been very, very refreshing to hear your statements and comments in relationship to what we're talking about today. Congressman, continue your thought there about the heartbeat bill. And let me ask you a question. This, I don't want to put you on the spot. Do we have enough in the House? Do we have other House members? I pray that we do. Do we have other House members that are willing to co-sponsor and stand with you and hold your hands up on this issue?
We do, Dr. Youngblood. Last session, the heartbeat bill had more co-sponsors on the House and on the Senate side than any other single bill. And we were able to get a head count over on the Senate side of enough senators who said they would vote yes for it when it came for a vote. Governor DeSantis said that if it landed on his desk, he would sign it. So we had enough votes on both the House and Senate side that if it had simply been given a hearing, then that bill would have passed. But it was denied that ability. So I believe we have it again this session, that they're the same. We have the same returning members, plus a couple of additional ones because of special elections. But I believe we are going to have the number of votes to get it passed in the House and in the Senate if we can get leadership on both the House and Senate side to give it a hearing, to let it appear before a committee. Let's debate it, and let's vote. What I've heard their concern is that it's going to be an election year next year and that they don't want to put members on record of how they voted on this issue because it may cost them an election. And I just think that is atrocious. That is a horrible reason for not wanting to save life.
Yes. What, Congressman, talk to our listeners. Tell our listeners how they can become involved. Can they write letters? Can they send emails? How should we, the people, respond in holding your hands up for legislation like this to come to the forefront and have an up or down vote?
That's a great question, Dr. Youngblood. And yes, your elected official is sensitive and is listening to what you have to say on almost all issues. The problem is that not enough Christians will get involved and will stand up. But what you can do is, yes, write, call, and email. Do all three. Your state representative and your state senator, and tell them that you support the pro-life bill, that they support the bill to not confiscate our weapons. And they will listen. Why? Because they want to get elected again. And so when they hear from a large number of their constituents saying, we want to support the heartbeat bill, we want it to get a hearing, we want to have it debated, and we want you to vote yes on it. So, yes, please call your state representative, your state senator, write them a letter, and email them. And because they are sensitive when they start receiving a lot of correspondence from their constituents.
Ladies and gentlemen, our listeners, let me encourage you to follow that very wise word of instruction for us. We the people, we have the responsibility. We put our men in office to represent us. We're a representative form of government, and they're answerable to we the people. So let me encourage all of our listeners today, get on the telephone, call your representative, call your state senator, email them, write them a letter. All three prongs of contact and communication ought to be instigated so that they will know that we're serious about wanting this life bill, this heartbeat bill, made law in the state of Florida. And Congressman, also on the Bible in the classroom. A lot of folks were in consternation last year, talked with a number of people, and had one that said, well, you know, if you have a bill where Bible is taught in the classroom, somebody with some wild-haired way out theology and doctrine will be there teaching our kids something. Let's talk about that issue and the potentiality of that bill being reintroduced. And how would that work in the state of Florida, where the Bible is an alternative, a Bible is something that's not mandatory, but where that can be taught in the classroom? Two things, Congressman, to address for us. Is it possible for that to be reintroduced? Secondly, do you feel that it would be beneficial to help our state, in particular getting God back into the classroom, the hearts of the youngsters, so that it will prevent these, I believe it'll be a major preventative of the mass shootings, and what we find is renegade teenagers today is because God is absent in their lives.
No doubt, Dr. Youngblood, that it is because of this attack on Christianity that we are seeing in our nation and around the world, that we are seeing more of this very bad behavior. You can recognize that even though they won't allow the Bible to be taught in the school, that they do have during the month of Ramadan, they allow the Quran to be taught,
that
they teach the five pillars of Islam in school. Why do they do that? What about this separation of church and state? The answer is very simple. It's because that is not based on Christianity. And so they are not concerned with attacking that. What they are concerned with attacking is Christianity. And the reason why they want to attack Christianity is because Christianity is the religion where you are held accountable for your actions, where you will stand before a living God and give an account for your life. They don't want to hear that. They want to do what they think is right in their own eyes and not have any accountability for it. And so that's why they attack Christianity so hard. But if we can bring the Bible back into the schools, there are already curriculums that are available for the Bible to be taught very easily for an entire semester. Again, it's an elective course. Now, can there be the possibility that, as you say, some teacher is going to teach it wrong? Yes, that's there. In fact, we have churches that are teaching the Bible wrong. But because it is an elective course, that means that a student is voluntary for them to sign up. I think that they are going to have an interest in the Bible. And you know, young people are smart, and they can read it and know what it says for themselves. And when they start reading it, God will speak to them.
Amen.
And tell them what the truth is.
Amen. It's putting the Word of God, the Ten Commandments need to be back in the classroom, the Word of God back in the classroom. And even if, and I've advocated this now for some time, as you know, even if the Bible is taught as just an historic document, if it is taught in that fashion, you've got to talk about the Ten Commandments. You've got to talk about the Genesis creation, that God created everything that is in existence today. You've got to talk about who God is, et cetera, et cetera. If it's taught just as an historic book, I'd have no problem with that. But the problem that we're finding today is where God is being banned. You're perhaps familiar with the fact that in the House during the course recently passed, the U.S. House of Representatives, where something was said about the swearing in of a witness, and they were admonished then that they had left out under God, or in the oath where it was being given, so help me God, was being left out. And a congressman from Tennessee, I believe it was, said it's all right to have God in a cathedral, it's all right to have God in a synagogue or in a church, but God has no place in the halls of Congress. And now I'm holding in my hand, Congressman Hill, an article that says California Democrats lament presence of God in the congressional oath. It's just preposterous, they said. Even in the states like California, they already, I call it the left wing or the lefties, but the land of the fruits and nuts. But anyway, they're now also lamenting the fact that God would even be mentioned. And I think what we're finding, if I can just ramble for a moment in that realm, we're finding the end results of a nation that's devoid of God and the recognition of God and the refusal to bow to God. And so I believe you're exactly right. We need the heartbeat bill. We need the Bible bill, Bible back in the classroom. And there's another thing that you're doing, as I understand it, Congressman. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Florida House of Representatives District 1, Congressman Mike Hill. And Mike is talking with us today about some of the things that they're introducing in Tallahassee and some of the rationale behind his stand. If you want to call and ask him a question and have dialogue and discussion about these issues, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones. Congressman, I believe you've introduced a bill, House Bill 6003, called the Firearms Bill. Tell us about that.
Yes, and Dr. Youngblood, what you just mentioned about those who want to remove God from our oath is the exact reason why I filed this bill. And let me explain that. every elected official who is elected into office must take an oath of office. It is part of you being a congressperson. It's not just receiving enough votes. That's one step, but you must also take that oath. And what that oath says is that I do solemnly swear to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Florida Constitution. Now, when I took that oath, and this is what elected officials need to recognize, including the godless ones out in California and other places, that when you took that oath, it was not between you and a judge administering the oath. And it wasn't just between you and your constituents. When you took that oath, it's between you and the living God.
Amen.
You are promising God that you are going to protect and defend the Constitution, and that's why you seal it with, "So help me God."
Yes.
And that's why they want to remove that, because they know that it is you are promising God you're going to protect and defend the Constitution. So when our Constitution was trampled on by that bill that was signed after the Parkland shooting, because I said an oath to God that I'm going to protect and defend our Constitution, I was duty-bound. I'm honor-bound because of my oath to God to file legislation to repeal those parts of that bill which trampled on our Constitution. There were certain parts of the bill which were good, such as hardening our schools, making them more safe, having resource officers at each of the schools. I didn't touch that because that is what could actually prevent another tragedy at our school.
Yes.
But stopping 18 to 20-year-olds from purchasing a weapon, the red flag law, the three-day waiting period, the bump stocks, none of those will do anything to stop another tragedy from happening. But it does infringe upon our Constitution, on the First Amendment, on the Second Amendment, on the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth, and the 14th Amendment. It tramples
yes.
on all of those. So any person who said an oath to protect and defend our Constitution has to recognize that you cannot let that travesty of a law to remain in place. It has to be repealed, or you're not taking your oath seriously.
Yes. Congressman, hold on 1 minute. I believe we have a caller with a question on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. This is James. Michael
Go ahead.
McKenna.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a prospective teacher in Florida. And basically, I've been denied any right to teach here because of my Christian beliefs.
You've got a long pause. I believe if you'll reach over and turn your radio down, that will help our communication a moment.
I apologize, sir. My wife's going to do that.
All right.
Yes. All right. Basically, congressperson. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah, this is James Michael McKenna. I'm a legal citizen of the United States. My wife and I were legally married, okay, years ago back in 2008. And I went down to South America with her to take care of her mother and her family. We all stayed together and helped each other. I came back up here, all right, as a bilingual educator, and I still can't find a job in Tallahassee or anywhere over Florida, around Florida.
Let me ask the congressman just to respond briefly to that, and then perhaps you could contact the congressman off the broadcast for the sake of the few minutes we have left.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. To respect everybody. Yes, sir.
Well, what I would offer to the caller is that, first of all, it would be a tragedy, a travesty, if you can't get a job as a teacher simply because of your Christian faith in public schools. What I would offer to you to consider is look at some of our private Christian schools. There are many who are desperately in need of good teachers to teach our children those Christian values. So if you can't get the public school, and I'm not giving that a pass, because you cannot be denied employment because of your religion. that goes against the Civil Rights Act, 1964 Civil Rights Act. But I would also consider the private Christian schools.
All right. Thank you so much for your call and for the insight that the Congress has given us. Congressman, let's say we've got about two and a half minutes on the broadcast today. Let's talk for a moment about your House Bill 6003, and you just gave a brief overview, and you touched on the red flag laws. Most are not aware of the harm and the danger and the intrusion of our constitutional rights in the First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, and the 14th Amendments on the red flag laws. Speak to that issue for a moment.
Yes, what a red flag law essentially is a gun confiscation law that says that if a family member, a doctor, or law enforcement believes that you are in danger of hurting yourself or someone else, that they can confiscate your weapon from you. And what that does is it means that someone is guilty without proof of them committing anything. And it removes the burden of innocence that each person has according to our Constitution. The part that is really troubling with me about that, Dr. Youngblood, is in Florida we have a lot of military veterans. And a veteran group has come to me and says, Mike, we have young people who are coming back from combat situations who have some form of PTSD. Some are mild and some are more severe. But these young people are reluctant to go get the treatment they need because they are concerned that they will be red flagged and either their weapon will be taken from them or they won't be able to purchase one in the future. So now we're having a dangerous situation where people who need treatment are not getting it because they do not want their weapons confiscated from them.
Yes, and one of the things, Congressman, and speak to this, we've got about 1 minute on our broadcast, but speak to this issue that someone can't, without any giving their name or who they are, can call and make a false statement, and as a result of that false statement, that false accusation, he is crazy, he's been walking up down the street, he's waving his gun, he's going to hurt somebody, whether that has happened or not, then you could be locked up for 14 days until a judge hears that, and your permit to carry a gun, or you could become a felon, and you've got to prove your innocence.
That's correct. And we even saw an instance, Dr. Youngblood, where a young high school person went on social media and posted something crazy on there, and the law enforcement came and confiscated his father's weapon.
Yes. Let's do this. We've got our time is up today. Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, House of Representatives, State of Florida, thank you so much today for taking time out of a busy schedule to be with us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
121 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them. 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.